not because of my mother, but because of my father. My dad, he competes at everything. He's horseshoes are his thing. He loves horseshoes so much. He flew down to Louisiana just to play horseshoes for the weekend and came back. He's a competitive guy. We go bowling, and I was a little kid, and do you think that Dad would go soft on me when I was a kid? No. I was like a 12-year-old out playing basketball with my dad, and I went up to shoot a shot, and you know, he'd swat it into next week and say, and my dad was competitive. He always had to win. He always did, and he still does. But I can think about that. You know, I got a little bit of that in my life, and that was competition was something that was really exciting when I was younger. Now, every once in a while, I've got this boy in my class every day. Mr. Wilson, can we go play basketball? When I'm in my study hall, I got, no, you got schoolwork to do. Comes in the next day, Mr. Wilson, can we go play basketball? My son says, gym class with this kid is awful because he's better at basketball than everybody else. He lives to play basketball. And the gym teacher will say, okay, we're going to play tennis today. And he'll say, oh, I don't want to play tennis. I want to play basketball. So he wants to play basketball sometimes. And once a month, I'll take the class down to the gym. They want to play basketball. I don't even want to be competitive. If he wants to go, I'll just get out of the way and say, I like my knees better than stopping you in basketball. And that's okay. But when I was a kid, I was competitive. And you want to know what? We play board games. And I've got to tell you, when I was a kid, I liked playing board games. And I liked sitting at Monopoly, like near the bank. And Dad, confession time, right here. I didn't want to lose to you because you never lost at anything. You always put, you know, sometimes I'd reach over and I'd take like an extra $100 bill. Yep. When I was a kid, like, you know, sorry, it's like, oh, I rolled a 12, but then I'd go 11, 11, 12. Oh, I did that all the time, board games. I did. Because I didn't want to lose my dad. And I hid those things. And it got to be like where I was an adult and I was serving the Lord and I was at camp and I didn't want to lose. And I'd feel like, oh, maybe I should just do like I did when I was a kid and take it. I had to decide. I had to make this decision in my life. Because I knew like cheating at a board game was something that I would do. I had to say, I'm going in and I'm going to lose. And I started really enjoying losing board games and just sitting there and having fun. There was a reason I had to do that. Because I wanted to stop. Because like cheating in a board game was really kind of bothering me. It's something I'd done since I was a little kid. And as we read in, you know, we read Joshua chapter 7. And we're looking in 2 Kings chapter 5. And I'd like you to open in your Bibles to 2 Kings 5. And we've been here for a while. We've been looking at this guy Gehazi. In 2 Kings chapter 5, Gehazi has been caught. He has been found out. And in verse 25 of 2 Kings chapter 5, it says, now he went in and stood before his master Elisha, and Elisha said to him, where did you go, Gehazi? And he said, your servant did not go anywhere. And he said to him, did not my heart go with you? When the man turned back from his chariot to meet you, is it time to receive money and receive clothing, olive groves and vineyards, sheep and oxen, male and female servants? Therefore, the leprosy of Naaman, shall cling to you and your descendants forever. And he went out from his presence, leprous, as white as snow. Last week, we talked about lying. Lying before the Holy Spirit. A little bit of heavenly deception to get your own way. Today, I want to talk about the consequences that come with this. The consequences that Gehazi felt as Naaman's leprosy became his affliction. You know, and what happens with them. And I think there's a verse that we got to really hold on to with all of our heart. And that verse is found in the book of Numbers. And Matt, I might have to count on you today to click through there. So I might just say something to you when I'm ready to click. But Numbers chapter 32 and verse 23. Numbers 32 and 23. Take your Bibles and open to the book of Numbers chapter 32 and verse 23. I think that this verse is one of the verses that really all of us, every single one of us, needs to commit part of this verse to our memory. And we need to remember where it is. It's like the easiest verse in the Bible to remember the reference, 32:23. You know, it's just, you take the numbers and flip them. But in Numbers 32:23, it says, "But if you do not do so, then take note, you have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sins will find you out." Biblical truth. If you sin, you will get caught. You will not get away with it. I know that it sure feels like people get away with sin, that they can just live in sin, and they can just get away with it and get away with it and get away with it. But sin has consequences. If not here in this life, in eternity. And your sin is going to catch up with you. Truth. And I kind of brought up this little example of me like taking a $100 bill up off the monopoly, but that became like a real problem to me. And I know it seems like a small example. But when it comes to the Word of God, and we read here, there's something we read the story from Joshua chapter 7 of Achan and Ai. And I think about Achan and Ai in Joshua chapter 7 that we read. As Achan, God said, "Do not touch the stuff that is in Jericho. Jericho is a cursed city and nothing in there is to be touched." And Achan could have reasoned in his mind that you know, that'd be okay. It'll help me out. It's not a big deal. And he went in and he took. I could almost picture Achan going over to the ruins of Jericho, looking over here, looking over there, making sure. And he said, "Okay, nobody's watching. This isn't going to hurt anybody." And he took. And he hit him in his tent. He thought, "Not going to be a big deal. I'll just cover this up." But what happened? 36 children of Israel died. His whole family suffered from it. And we see here a good example. As the children of Israel first enter the promised land, God is very good at setting examples at the very beginning that we are to follow. And we are to use an example in our life of the behaviors that we should have. And here it's the fact that your sin is going to find you out. And Achan probably thought that nobody knew what he had taken, what he had stolen, that God said, "Don't touch it." But he did. And he brought it back and he hid it. Look at all the suffering. So something interesting. We have all these cities that the children of Israel conquered when they went into the promised land. Cities like Jericho and Hazor and all these cities that as they went in, they conquered. Archaeologists have begun to try and excavate these things and try to match them up to the biblical record. And they find cities like Jericho. And as they go in, they kind of look and say, oh, it matches the biblical record. And they say, it appears that maybe what the Bible said is accurate. You know, there's a city that the children of Israel conquered that as they went into the promised land that they can't find. That you know, they sort of looked for it, and it's Ai. And it's kind of interesting, and as I was reading in this book that was talking about it, Ai is the one that when the children of Israel went in and conquered it, it wasn't there wasn't like miracles associated with it. You know, the walls weren't falling down like at Jericho, but the children of Israel just went in and wiped it out, and you know, God had a big lesson for the children of Israel to learn. But it's almost like this is the one that might not have been a big deal if it didn't have the story of Achan. And think about that. Like, you might think that what you're hiding in your heart is not a big deal. But to God, sin is sin. And if it's in your heart, it's destroying you. It's destroying the relationships of the people that you're interacting with. It's ruining your family. It's ruining your life. And we need to really live Numbers chapter 32 and verse 23. Be sure your sin will find you out. Naaman needed Gehazi needed to make sure that he knew that his sin would find him out. Not only does this apply to Achan and Ai, 36 men died. His whole family suffered for it. But it also applies to in the New Testament as the church was starting and as the gospel was making its way across the world and lives were being changed for eternity by the message of Jesus Christ. It also affected the church, not just the nation of Israel. Let's turn our Bibles to Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5. In Acts chapter 5, we have the story of Ananias and Sapphira. And in Acts chapter 5, verse 1, it says, "A certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the proceeds. His wife also, being aware of it, brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, 'Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? Keep back part of the price of the land for yourself. While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not your own to control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but you have lied to God.' Then Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and breathed his last. So great fear came upon all those who heard these things." Here Christ has an example for the church, just like Achan was an example for the nation of Israel. Lying and trying to hide your sin is not good. It will destroy your life. And it's important that our hearts are pure. And maybe today, as we're sitting here, I'm hoping God might be digging at somebody's heart and say, "You've been hiding something. You've got a sin in your heart, and you're lying about it. Let's do business with it today." Maybe God wants you to take care of it. You need to make sure that Numbers chapter 32 and verse 23 is a verse that kind of convicts you. Be sure your sins will find you out. And that's just something that we have all throughout the scriptures is that God deals with sin. And sin is serious business. It destroys. It ruins hearts, families, and lives. It's not worth it to harbor sin in your heart. In the book of Matthew, chapter 26, we read about another person that faced the consequences for his sin. In Matthew chapter 26, verses 14 to 16, it says, "Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said, 'What are you willing to give me if I deliver him to you?' And they counted out to him 30 pieces of silver. So from that time, he sought opportunity to betray him." Judas Iscariot went behind Christ's back, betrayed him. He had had this sin in his life that was growing. We read other places in the gospel that he was the guy that kept the money bag. When Mary anointed Jesus' feet and he realized how much that spikenard cost, 300 denarii, expensive stuff. Who knows, it might have been, I've told kids for years, it probably would have been perfume that would have cost about $35,000 or more. That's expensive stuff. He thought if we sold that, we could give the money to the poor. But the Bible is very clear that he had other intentions in his heart. That he was holding on to sin because he kept the money bag and he might give some to the poor, but he held on some himself. This eventually caught up with Judas. In Matthew chapter 27 and verse 3, it says, "Then Judas, his betrayer, seeing he had been condemned, was remorseful and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders, saying, 'I have sinned by betraying innocent blood.' And they said, 'What is that to us? You see to it.' Then he threw down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. But the chief priest took the silver pieces and said, 'It is not lawful to put them into the treasury, but they are the price of blood.' And they consulted together and bought with them the potter's field to bury strangers in it. Therefore, that field has been called the field of blood to this day." As we read about the tragedy of Judas and what Judas went through and how he faced the consequences for regarding iniquity in his heart, for sinning and hanging on to it. He betrayed the Lord, and it ruined his life. I think about our hearts. And I know that there's many people in this room, myself included, who one day decided, we said, "God, it's not worth it to have that sin in my heart and to keep it here. I'm going to bring it and I'm going to bring it to the foot of the cross where I can find forgiveness. I can find mercy. And I'm going to say, God, I have done wrong. I have held on to sin. But I'm going to admit that. I'm going to let it be known to you, to my family, to my loved ones, to the people I know, that I have sinned and I'm going to repent. I'm going to stop doing what I'm doing. Let sin quit having its way in my heart, and I'm going to follow God." And that's made the biggest difference in our lives. When we said, "Sin, you will no longer rule in my heart. I'm not going to hide on to this thing, but I'm going to lay it at the foot of the cross, and I'm going to make a change." It's the best thing that we can do. As we look at what happened to Gehazi, he lost it all. Not only did Gehazi lose the things that he had stolen, the gold, the silver, the clothes, he also got the leprosy that Naaman had, and Naaman had been cured from, and destroyed his life. And went of ruin the way he looked and the way he related with people and his relationships. Was it worth it? Is it worth it for us to let sin, lies, stealing, cheating, destroy our families, destroy... when Christ has the answer? Why would we let that ruminate and grow in our heart when we can get rid of it? In Gehazi's case, it was money that was the motivation for him losing it all and for him stealing. And that's still true today. Let's turn in our Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, in verse 9, it says, "But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which draw men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." As I look at this verse, and we're very familiar with it, the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. That was the problem that Gehazi had had. He thought that he could lie and he could financially gain from it. He could get some more clothes, some more gold, some more silver. This wasn't a game, but what Gehazi was doing was he was playing Monopoly. And he was taking a couple extra $100 bills while the banker wasn't looking. Or so he thought. But Numbers chapter 32 and verse 23 says, "Be sure your sins will find you out." Here it says, the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And I think that maybe someone, us here today, we might find ourselves in the same trap. We love money and we might cheat, lie, steal to get ahead in this world. The lusts of this world are tempting us to run away from God. The truth of the matter is, verse 11 of 1 Timothy chapter 6 says, "But you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness." I remember one time I heard someone say, "What should we do when we are tempted to sin?" And I heard someone say, "We should run from it." And the speaker, the Bible teacher, said, "No, we should stand against it." And my mind instantly thought, Joseph. That's like instantly what I thought. And so I began looking, like I went home and I looked and I looked and I looked and I looked. What does the Bible say that we should do about sin? And I came to places like this in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and I see, "But you, O man of God, flee these things." And so I highlighted that, I underlined it, and I said, "What are these things?" And I pointed an arrow right up to temptation of the love of money. Run away from it. You know, what I decided, remember what I decided in my board game playing days? I just decided, I'm going to lose. And that's okay. And just as a small example, I've had so much more fun losing games than cheating and winning. It's just been the way it is. And in life, you know, we can cheat to get ahead. We can lie. We can steal. But when we're tempted, if you want to save your family, if you want to save your home, save your life, from the consequences of sin. Flee from these things. Run to the arms of the Savior. Lay your sins at His feet. Flee these things and pursue righteousness. Drop it and run. He lost his dignity and his integrity. Was it worth it for the gold and silver and the clothes that he had for a little while? Physically, Gehazi's end was tragic. There are consequences to our actions. Naaman coveted these things. He wanted them. He wanted wealth. And instead of getting the wealth that he desired, what he earned, what he got was leprosy, which is what everyone so desperately wanted to avoid. And in our lives, we might desire things, lust, sin, and we think that the pleasure will be worth it, but that's not the truth. The truth is that the pleasure only lasts for a little while. But the consequences hurt, they scar, they hurt a lot. I'd like to, as we look at this, I'd like to kind of read something from a man. I got his picture up here. You probably recognize him. Muhammad Ali. Boxer, right? And he had a mouth and he was full of a lot of pride, wasn't he? We know that, you know. He talked about being the greatest, and when he was young, some of the things he said was, "I'm young, I'm handsome, I'm fast, and I can't possibly be beat." Okay, all right. It sounds like he had some pride in his life. Another thing that he said was, "It's hard to be humble when you're as great as I am." Okay. Oh boy. He also said, "I am the greatest. I am the greatest I that even I before I knew I was." Okay. He also said, "I'm not the greatest. I'm the double greatest." I mean, this guy, he had it all. As far as he thought in boxing. And he wanted to get to the top and he didn't care who he stepped over to get there. And he did things that he would later regret. He stepped over people and he compromised his heart. Now, he's not somebody that we should morally aspire to be like. By all means, no. But we can learn a lesson from him. That pride, things and sins that we have in our heart, lust, desire, they don't give you the gratification that you're looking for. At the end of his life, when it was all said and done, and he had all these trophies and all these awards and everything that he thought he could want, he got near the end of his life. He said, "I had the world in my hand," but here's what his quote was. He said, "I had it all, and it was nothing. And it became nothing, and now it's nothing. And I hated it all." Think about that. What would you want? Would you want to be a famous boxer? Famous actress, the wealthiest person in the world, to have all the money you could want, to drive around a fancy car? Is it worth it? No. Is it worth it to cheat, lie, steal, and to do things that you regret to get to the top? No. And that's all going to go away. You know, we hide these sins in our heart. Numbers 32:23. I've said that verse a lot, and I want to say that number a lot because it's one that we need to hang on to. Be sure your sins will find you out. Your sin's going to catch up with you. And when it all falls apart, you say, You know, I had it all. I desired it all. But in the end, it was nothing. It wasn't worth it. Let me tell you something that is worth it. A relationship with Jesus Christ. That's worth it. Finding Him and the peace that He can provide you is worth it. The theme of my life and the thing that is on my heart is that I'd rather have Jesus than anything. And the greatest thing about that, I got three things here as we close to encourage us, to get us headed on the right track. The first is that salvation is free. Salvation is free. Titus chapter 3, another passage of Scripture to memorize. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, through the washing of regeneration, the renewing of the Spirit, whom He poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by His grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. If you are hiding iniquity in your heart, if your sin, you've been cheating, lying, stealing, and you know it's there and God's working. No, here this verse says that you could come to a Savior who offers you forgiveness and salvation, and it's free. He paid it all. He paid for it with His precious blood. And He's given you the opportunity to come to Him and be justified. Another thing I'd like us to leave with today is that maybe if we have been somebody that the wealth of this world and the desires of this world have been so important to us that we've been willing to compromise our heart and our souls and our lives, and we want to make a change, we really want to repent. Repentance is when we say we are doing something wrong, we want to stop doing what we are doing, and we want to do something right in its place. Maybe we need to be a charismatic giver. Please turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12 begins talking about us being a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. But as we get into the next paragraph in Romans chapter 12, it talks about serving God with our spiritual gifts. It says there, if we begin in verse 3 to kind of get the context, it says, "For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministry. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness." We need to make a change in our life. And if we're somebody that has been cheating our way through life, we have been searching after the pleasures of this world and we've been hiding it. We've looked this way and that and thought no one would know what we are doing, but we know in our hearts that what we're doing is wrong. Salvation is free. We need to come to the cross of the Savior who died for us. Secondly, we need to make a change. Here it says, "He who has the gift of giving, let him give liberally." If you've been somebody who your mode of life has been that you cheat and steal and lie, you need to find a Savior, and then you need to make a change. You need to take these gifts of the Spirit and use them. Make a change. Verse 9. Love verse 9. "Abhor what is evil. cling to what is good. It's something that we really need to be practicing in our life. And the third thing, three things again in closing to make a change. First is that salvation is free. The second is that if we're somebody that's stolen, cheated, and lied, we need to make a change and we need to become somebody whose life is about giving. And the last is that we need to be about the Father's business, doing the will of God. Let's turn in our Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." Today, we looked at four people. We looked at Gehazi. He wanted and desired the gold, the silver, the clothing that Naaman had offered. And he took it. He lied to get it. And it cost him the dignity of his life. He had leprosy attached to his life for the rest of his life. We had Achan, who saw the gold, the silver, and the clothing. Wow, seems like almost the same story, right? And he looked, God said, "Don't touch that cursed thing." He looked this way and he looked that way and he went in and he took what he shouldn't have. All those children of Israel, the 36 men died. His family suffered for it. His possessions were gone. And the last thing that he knew is that his sins had found him out and he was going to pay for them, and he wasn't the only one going to face the consequences for it. We looked at Ananias and Sapphira, who lied to the Holy Spirit. Thought they'd keep a little bit extra for themselves. And God even says, "You could have kept it. That would have been okay. The problem was when you lied about it." And they suffered for it. We looked at Judas, who was in the presence of the Savior and following around the disciples. But he still loved the world and the wealth that came with it. The love of money is the root of all evil. And there's four examples. And we need to make a change. And the first that we need to know is that if we're hiding sin in our heart, and we understand that, be sure your sins will find you out, we can bring them to the Savior and he's willing to forgive. We need to make a change in our life to be a charismatic giver. And the last thing is we need to seek first the kingdom of God. Quit looking at Jericho and the cursed world out there. Look to heaven where your eternal reward is. Quit looking at Naaman walking off into the sunset with the gold and silver and think, "Well, if I lied, I could just get that." And think about a God who says, "I will take care of you and I'll be there for you. And I take care of this world. I can take care of you too. Trust me." Don't be like Ananias and Sapphira and think, "Well, if I lied a little bit, people will look at me better and they'll think better of me." Who cares what people think of you? Care what God thinks of you. You know, in the book of John, it says that they would not believe in Jesus because they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Who do you want to please? Who do you want to look good to today? Seek first the kingdom of God. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I've tried to challenge our hearts today that sin is not worth it. Lord, I pray that we might commit that verse to memory, Numbers 32 and verse 23. Be sure your sins will find you out. Lord, I pray that you might help us to remember these examples found through Scripture, that the world and what it has to offer is not worth it. And I pray that you might help us to flee from the worldly lusts, from the temptation of sin and lying and cheating and stealing. Lord, I pray that if there's someone here, that, Lord, they've been giving sin the dominion in their heart and they're trying to hide it, that you might help them today to realize that they need to do something about it. They need to come to Jesus Christ. They need to let go of that sin and make a change in their world before it's too late, before it destroys their family, their home, their life. Lord, help us just to surrender to you in Jesus' name. Amen.